Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Keeney Allen. Today, I have author Nicole Jacqueline with me. So thank you so much for joining me, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. You're welcome. So first, can you tell me a little bit? I always like to find out, because I'm super curious, how did you start reading romance?
I started reading romance pretty young. Mm-hmm. I think at like around 12 or 13.
Okay.
And my mom read Danielle Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And she had sort of some other miscellaneous books on her shelf, and I would take them and start reading them. And by the time I was in middle school, I would go to the library. And I'm from a really small town, so I read every single romance novel in the library section. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you started young, but that's only been like a couple years, I'm sure. So.
Oh, yeah, just a few.
Yeah. So what is it that you like about romance?
I like the love story. I like knowing that there's going to be a happy ending. I like, and I like the family dynamics too. That's a big part of it for me. I like watching like the push and pull, not just between the hero and the heroine, but sort of the side characters too.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fun for me. Yeah.
Sure. So are there any subgenres that you really enjoy within romance?
I love historical romance.
Okay.
Love it. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
It's sort of like a palate cleanser for me. Mm-hmm. So if I've read a lot of contemporary, it's just refreshing. I like falling into the story in sort of a different world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then within romance, are there any favorite tropes that you enjoy reading?
All of them.
All of them. Okay, that's fair.
I can't even think of one that I don't like. Uh-huh. I like all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, I don't like such and such a trope. But, you know, if the blurb catches me, I'll read almost anything. So I totally get that.
I'm the exact same way. Yeah. It's a well-written story. Mm-hmm. Whatever the trope is, if the story is well-written, I will read it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So are you reading anything now that you're really enjoying that you'd be willing to share with us?
Oh, man. So I'm really horrible about remembering what I'm reading.
Uh-huh.
So let me look at my Kindle.
Okay.
Just, I know the story of what I'm reading, but I don't know the name of it.
Okay.
So let me look right. I know that it's by Katie Robert.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's called The Devil's Daughter.
The Devil's Daughter. Okay.
Yeah. And it's like suspense.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's really good. I liked her previous books. And so mm-hmm. I got these actually just last night.
Okay. Is that, it's recently came out, didn't it? It's like part of like a new series that she's doing.
Yeah, it's okay. Her new series. I'm not sure when it came out, but there's three of them. So it's, this one has been out for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I follow her on social media and I'm pretty sure I remember seeing this one come out. I haven't read her in a while. You know, the reader struggle is very real. But I did really like the stuff that I've read of hers before. So other than that book that you're reading right now and you're really enjoying, are there any other books coming out soon that you're really looking forward to?
Oh, man. Which books am I looking really looking forward to? Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry, but I can't think of any.
No, that's okay. Not
I honestly look at blogs and see, like, okay, what's coming out this week?
Mm-hmm.
And try and keep up that way because I have an 8-month-old son. Mm. So I am sort of scatterbrained all the time right now.
I understand. Sometimes, like, you know, ask me today, I could tell you 5 books that I'm looking forward to. Ask me tomorrow and I'll be like, I don't know.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
No. It's totally okay. Like, you know, or sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'm really looking forward to that. And then, you know, a week later, like I said, you know, I'll be thinking of books and then I'll see people talking about it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I really want to read that. Why didn't I remember that? So. No worries. Plus, you know, 8-month-old kind of trumps everything. So,
yeah, he kind of takes over.
Yeah, I can understand that. So, all right. So we're going to take a quick break to hear a message from our sponsor. But when we get back, I'll be talking to Nicole about her experiences as an author and her books. So we'll be right back. Wonder Book and Video connects over 2 million books with readers each year and has been serving book lovers for over 35 years. With locations in Frederick, Hagerstown, and Gaithersburg, Maryland, Wonder Book and Video is the only place you'll ever need to find your next read. And yes, Wonder Book and Video has a huge variety of romance novels from which to choose. Can't find something in the store? Check out wonderbook.com to get 15% off your next romance novel purchase in-store or online with promo code ROMROMP. That's R-O-M-R-O-M-P. Wonder Book and Video, a book lover's paradise. Before the break, we talked about your experiences as a reader, kind of what you like to read. So can you tell me a little bit about how you evolved from a reader to an author?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
No. When I was in college, mm-hmm. I had two small kids, and I've always been a really big reader, like a book a day reader. Mm-hmm. Okay. I read a lot. And I had this story in my head, and I thought, I could write this. And it was right when the independent publishing was getting big.
Okay.
And I'd always wanted to be a writer as a profession, but it was really hard to break into for a long time. And indie editing or indie publishing, kind of opened a lot of doors.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I had this story in my head, and it took me about 6 months to write. And I found a really good editor, and I published when I was a senior in college, and I had two little girls. They were 7 and 4.
Oh, wow.
And I was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was really scary, but I was still going to school. So I thought, if this doesn't work out, I'm still getting my business degree. Mm-hmm. And then it worked out, which was kind of crazy.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I think indie publishing, well, I would say I think romance has really changed indie publishing, at least as I see it, an outsider kind of looking in. I don't really know all the ins and outs from the author perspective, but it really, it's given romance authors who maybe, the trade six or the big six or whatever, that can be really hard to get in with them. And so with indie, it's really opened up doors and opportunities for readers and authors, excuse me.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the big six,
mm-hmm.
they are sort of watching mm-hmm. the indie. I feel like it did open a lot of doors because then your name is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yeah.
You don't have to find an agent first necessarily, or it just changed the game mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for good and bad, I'm sure,
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
With the good always comes the bad, right?
Always, always, always. All right. So your newest book, Heart of Glass, releases on July 10th, and it's the third in a series. I think it's called the Fostering Love series or Fostering Love.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So before we talk about that, I'm going to take a small segue to talk about Sean from Unbreak My Heart. So when I got the email from Estelle at Forever about your new book, I was like, Estelle, I would love to talk to Nicole, but I have to be honest, I could not stand Sean. Shane. And he was the worst in my opinion. But I say that, and it's been 2 years since I read that book because I read it as an ARC. I still remember pretty much everything about that book and the emotions that he elicited from me as a reader. I was like, and I put him on that book, like I participated last month in this hashtag Rom Book Love thing on Twitter. He was in one of my lists. He was in somebody else's list of like books and tropes and all sorts of things. So I totally appreciate how you did a fantastic job with him. Because even though I did not like him at all, that whole story stuck with me.
I have the biggest smile on my face. He was a really, I feel like, polarizing character. He was awful a mm-hmm. lot of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my favorite heroes to write is someone who is just really horrible, like mm-hmm. just nasty, mm-hmm. just and then redeems themselves
mm-hmm.
or grovels mm-hmm. really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest thing is I want you to feel something. So if you're still thinking about it 2 years later, I feel like I did my job.
Oh, and every time I talk about it, I always credit the fact that, like, even though I disliked him so much and, you know, pretty much felt like I wish that Kate could have found a different hero. like, I totally understand that, like, even though I feel that way, that book still resonates with me 2 years later. And even, like, one of the notes when I was reading the book, I was like, I still hate him. But I totally understand it. And that book in and of itself, like, that trope is one of my absolute favorite tropes, where either one of the main characters is kind of always carried this love for the other main character but wasn't able to be with them because of another partner, essentially. And it sucks that sometimes they end up getting together because of death, but I love it.
That story actually was, I was writing a different series, mm-hmm. and it was in my head for probably a year, just taking shape, and I would think of some of their interactions and the dialogue, and it took me a year before I had time to write it, and then I wrote it. It's the fastest book I've ever written.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, it was just so fast because I knew everything that happened before I started the story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved writing that book. Mm-hmm.
And that scene with the children?
Which one?
Where he takes the children.
Oh my gosh, I bawled writing that.
I was like, I could throw this book right now if it was a real book. And, like, so every time I talk about it, I'm like, he took the children. How can you do anything after that? He took the children.
Oh, yeah, that scene was awful.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I look at it, and for me, and every reader has a different perspective, you know. Like, for me, that is something that a character can never redeem themselves from. Like, it just, that's just for me. But I've looked at other reviews and people love it. People love him. And that's good. You know, there's a book for everybody and I'm happy about that. But still, I recommend absolutely. It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all subjective.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever I feel like I get asked about that a lot, mm-hmm. about bad reviews or whatever. And I'm always like, books are subjective. Mm-hmm. It's just like a TV show. Not everybody likes the same TV shows either.
Right.
So your experiences totally color how you view, like, what you enjoy.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, and when I do reviews and stuff, I always try to say, like, this just didn't work for me. And, you know, and it could be because my own personal experience or whatever. And that doesn't mean 100 other thousand people aren't going to love it, you know. And that's great. And I don't want to take away from that. So, you know, but that being said, I read the first book. I read the second book. When Estelle sent me when I saw it in the Forever email, I was like, I'm going to read the third book. And then I was looking on your social media and I was like, and I'm going to read the fourth book. So it's fine. You know, like last week when I started it, I tweeted about it. I was like, you know she's going to break me on this, but I'm still reading it and I'm still enjoying it.
So, awesome.
Yeah. All right. So that brings me back to Heart of Glass. So this is the third book. And so can you give me like a synopsis of it?
Sure. This book is about Trevor and Morgan. Mm-hmm. And Morgan is actually Trevor's little brother, Henry, had a baby with this woman. And they didn't know about it until Henry had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so Trevor goes down to California. They're from Oregon. Goes down to California to meet Morgan and meet his little brother's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trevor and Morgan end up falling in love.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's, I think, a pretty good synopsis.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of the story. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed it. One of my other favorite tropes is secret baby. So I wouldn't say that this was a secret baby so much as it was kind of like a baby that had to get introduced to the family, if you will. So kind of I would say it's secret baby adjacent. And so I was really drawn to it, and I felt like Trevor and Morgan had they had really great chemistry. They had a good story. Morgan was way more open and easygoing about meeting the family than I would have expected, but that was great. I mean, it read perfectly. I mean, that was her character. Again, it's just like my own background where I'd be like, I don't know about this, but yeah.
Absolutely. I also am like always very conscious of the fact that women seem to judge heroines a lot more harshly than heroes.
Of course.
And so it was kind of a fine line. She was really nervous about it, but I didn't want to make her hold back too much because I still wanted her character to be sympathetic, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, no, it does. And, you know, I totally understood where she was coming from. And like I said, it's just my own prickly personality would make me be not quite like that. But I think it worked great for their story, you know, and it was appropriately angsty, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah, they went through some stuff, but it wasn't like, you know, it didn't have me worked up quite like Unbreak My Heart. But but I still really enjoyed the story. So one of the things that, I mean, it seems, well, actually it's a theme through all the book. So why stories about like foster children?
I honestly, because one of my nieces is adopted.
Okay.
And she was adopted through the foster care system. And you don't really see a whole lot of stories about it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't see a whole lot of success stories about it, especially in romance novels. You see sort of the darker underbelly of it, like the foster care system. But I really wanted to tell stories about a successful family that was brought together in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and when I started Kate and Shane's story, Unbreak My Heart, that was just the secondary characters. They had this like mismatch family that was just sort of completely different, but all the same, if that makes sense.
Sure.
You know, like they were so bonded, but they had such different personalities and different ways that they came into the family. I don't know. I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just in my head.
Mm-hmm. No.
For a long time before I started writing them. Yeah.
That's great. I mean, I think, and I feel like at this point in my life, I've read hundreds, if not close to thousands, of romance novels, and very few have contained anything relating to foster children, other than maybe some like plot moppity children here and there, you know, and nobody enjoys plot moppet, but, you know, just to say like, oh, they're foster kids or whatever. So, but yeah, so, and I think it's always nice because we do all of us, we all come from different backgrounds and different types of families. And I think it's a great reminder that like our family doesn't have to be the family, like our blood family, you know, families are just however they come, that's who they are. And that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you balance out some of the heavier topics in your books without it being like too much?
Oh, man, I have no idea. the way I write, it's like a movie playing in my head. So I don't piece together stories ever. I write from the beginning to the end. Always. And so the scenes just come to me like a movie, chronologically. So I don't really know.
Well,
I don't know how to answer that.
Even so much as saying like, okay, I'm going to write about foster kids, you know, adults who grew up in the foster system, but they're functioning adults now. Like, how do I make that not either like without kind of glossing over it, or giving them like a true authentic voice, essentially?
Sure. They're just characters in my head. So I don't think that I consciously think about stuff like that.
Okay.
I just think, you know, so Morgan was in the foster care system, and you find out in the story that she actually stayed with Trevor's family for a summer. And then her dad ended up getting out of prison, and he got Morgan and her daughter and her sister back and then raised them. Mm-hmm. So her having sort of an awful mom who dies and then ending up in the foster care system, that's absolutely part of her story and shaped her. But mm-hmm. then she also had this really great dad
mm-hmm.
that raised her and just proved every day how much he loved her and how important she was. So mm-hmm. I didn't want to make it so that it was the biggest part of her story, because it really wasn't,
mm-hmm.
if that makes
sense. Yeah.
She had kind of this awful beginning, but she also had family that really took care of her and really loved her and made her feel secure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no, I get that. And I liked that her dad was, he seemed like maybe he could have turned out to be kind of like gruff, but he was like super wonderful, and I really liked her dad too. So.
So did I. Oh man. He was sort of a mixture of dads that I know, you know, uncles mm-hmm. and friends, and but I sort of loved writing him because Trevor's family is so straight laced
mm-hmm.
and they haven't, how do I explain this? Stan is a little bit more rough around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a biker and he was in prison and he's just so great. I loved showing just how wonderful of a parent he was and like mm-hmm. how hard he worked, because I feel like there's a lot of like, there's a stigma,
mm-hmm.
you know? And again, not all families are the same.
Right.
You can have really great parents that got into a lot of trouble when they were younger
mm-hmm.
and they just their life around, you know? I don't know. I loved him. I thought he was great.
Yeah. No, I think that was great because, like you said, like, he was a little rougher around the edges. He had been in prison, but it wasn't like, and at no point did Miranda have to like apologize for him. Not like she should. Excuse me, Morgan, you know, not like she should have to apologize for him, but she never was like, well, my dad was in prison, but now he's really great. Like, that wasn't even a thing. Like, I mean, he did some things in the past. Now he's her dad. I mean, he's always been her dad. Now he's this, mm-hmm. you know, wonderful support in her life. And there's no apologizing for it. It's just who he is. And that's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just, that was just him, mm-hmm. you know, like he was just her dad and yep. she, yeah.
Yeah. So the sister Miranda, will we ever see her at some later point?
Oh, I hope so. Okay. Nothing is in the works yet.
Okay.
Nothing is in the works yet, but I would love to write her story.
Okay. Yes.
Because... I really loved her. She was so prickly.
Pardon?
She was so, like, prickly,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was kind of hard to get close to, and I really liked her relationship with Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
I would love her story, but there's nothing in the works yet.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll be here, no pressure, ready when when or if it ever comes to you. No, she was a great side character, and I think it's always hard to write a story. I imagine it's probably hard to write where you have secondary characters. And because I don't enjoy reading my romances where the hero and heroine live in a bubble. I think that's just weird. But I'm sure it's hard to write secondary characters where they're not kind of taking over the story. And I don't think that she took over the story, but you definitely gave me enough where I was interested in her.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I also love, 'cause secondary characters, I feel like, really show you the truth about your hero and heroine,
mm-hmm.
how they connect to other people in their lives is a huge way to like see their personality,
mm-hmm.
What they care about. Like Trevor really loves his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just tell through the whole story, he's kind of a mama's boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that really shows you their personality and what's important to them, how they interact with other people. So I agree with you. I don't mm-hmm. like having the hero and the heroine in a bubble.
Yeah, it just always reads a little weird. But I mean, sometimes I've read books and then after the fact I'm like, I didn't notice that at the time, but then later I'm like, wow, they didn't really talk to anybody else. That's kind of weird. But you know, it's just a thing that I notice more now. But again, when I was looking at your social media, so I saw that there is going to be a fourth book in this series.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
It's called Peace of My Heart.
Okay. And did I see correctly that Alex is the hero in that one?
He is. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because in this one, he kind of showed up a little bit, if I remember, but not a ton. So, okay, I'll be interested to see how he plays out. And then it's always kind of nice to catch up with the previous characters a little bit to see what they've been doing since the last time we saw them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that book is finished now. It's just going through the editing process. And it's so weird to not be writing about this big family anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of miss them.
I bet. I always enjoy books that are series. You know, because you can kind of like I said, revisit those characters and kind of see them again and see how things have changed and, you know, if there's any children or new children or what have you. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. So do you have any other do you have any hobbies other than reading?
Oh, man. Yes. I love to sew.
Oh, okay.
So that's. I know it's such a, like a weird, oh yeah, I like to sew, but I actually really love it. And it's really relaxing, mm-hmm. like just putting on a movie and, you know, sewing. So, I make my kids clothes and stuff. And I have to take care of the baby a lot. So I haven't really had any hobbies for the last year, probably.
No worries.
But we live on a farm, so. Okay. We stay pretty busy. We have so many animals.
I bet. So that's kind of like a hobby. No, sewing isn't a weird hobby. I knit. And so sometimes I'm like, I'm such an old lady with my knitting. but it is. It's super relaxing because a lot of times, you know, you're just kind of like with sewing, you're just kind of following a pattern. You don't have to really, I mean, you have to put some thought into it, but it also allows to kind of just like,
veg out
a little bit.
Yeah.
Let somebody else make the decision as far as like, okay, they've already written this pattern. I made the decision to use it. Now I just have to follow it.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you have kind of like a thing when you're done. So it's always nice.
Yeah. I made the baby like a bunch of little sweaters and stuff. So, aww. And now when he wears them, I'm like so proud of it, you know, like knitting him little sweaters.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you ever, if you're on Facebook, like if you use it in your personal life, but there's a Facebook group that I belong to. It's called Mildly Offensive Fiber Artists. And so it's just anybody that does any sort of like fiber creation. I mean, you know, sewing, crocheting, knitting, sure. Whatever, as long as it's like fiber related. And a lot of times it's like mildly offensive stuff, so there's like a lot of curse words happening in there.
Awesome.
Yeah, you should. I mean, if you use Facebook, if you're looking for a crafting group, they seem to be a good group of people, and a couple of other authors I've interacted with belong to it, you know, with their fibering of what one of whatever shape. All right, so yeah. Piece of My Heart is up next. It's done.
Yep.
Okay, so after that, what else is next for you?
I have a few ideas brewing at the moment, but I actually have another series. It's called the Aces MC series.
Okay.
That it's independently published, and I have to finish that series next.
Okay.
There's a couple books left in that series. And then I'm not sure what's after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
the world is open.
Yes, it is. You could do whatever, you know.
I'm so excited.
You should be. So do you go to like any conferences or signings?
There was just a signing in Portland.
Okay.
I'm from Oregon. So I actually just did one in Portland, and then I'm also going to be at Love in Vegas in October.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm signing there. It's kind of hard with the kids to get out of town.
Oh, sure. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand completely. All right. Well, Nicole, that was really about all I had for you today. I really appreciate you taking time to chat with me today. And I'll link out so that people can find out more information about the new book, and the older books in that series and just learn more about you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Romance Romp is produced by Graham Cullen, Chris Sands, and me. Theme music provided by Kelsey Luce. Follow me on Twitter at KiniLei1, that's KiniLei1, to stay up to date on all new Romance Romp episodes.